vote to raise my property taxes? Yes, I will. That's how levy votes have gone the last few years in Seattle and King County. They tend to pass pretty easily. But the size and structure of Seattle's transportation levy on the November ballot has drawn some unusual pushback. KUOW reporter Amy Radel says it raises the question of whether even normally generous Seattle voters are feeling levy fatigue.
The spending breakdown is illustrative only and shall not be mandatory. That single sentence in the proposed Move Seattle transportation levy is drawing a lot of scrutiny. The levy aims to fund everything from repaving and safe school routes to bridges and transit access. It's more than twice the size of the Bridging the Gap levy, which it replaces. Groups like the League of Women Voters and the Municipal League are urging people to vote no on the levy because it lacks specifics. And some voters say they plan to reject it in November.
This is just not how you run government. And we have some experience in being involved in government. And I'm shocked.
Melissa Nitsch and her husband, Andrew Curry, are sitting in their West Seattle dining room. They moved here 2 years ago from Washington, D.C., and both work for federal agencies. Nitsch says she's dismayed that the nine-year, $930 million levy commits money to overall categories, but not to specific projects.
I think that there is a real kind of arrogance being put forward by city leadership to put something like this in front of voters and not articulate clearly what we're getting out of it. It's basically a non-prioritized, non-binding wish list.
The levy provides only partial funding for some of the projects it touts. It includes about an eighth of the money needed to build a bridge over the railroad crossing at Lander Street. Andrew Curry says his bus often gets stuck waiting for freight trains at that crossing, but he's not confident the levy would change that. He says he might support even a bigger levy if he knew exactly what it would do.
I would probably be more likely to say, yes, I'll support it if it's bigger and it's honest and it says, we're going to get this done. But this doesn't do that.
They're not against levies on principle. Nitsch plans to vote for the King County levy to fund early interventions for needy kids. That's also on the November ballot. And Curry says he'll vote for next year's Sound Transit measure to expand light rail. Voters can count on seeing a number of levy proposals next year, with the presidential race expected to draw higher voter turnout. Seattle City Council member Nick Licata calls it festival time in a blue state like Washington.
People come out and vote for a Democrat, and they're more likely to be more generous in funding public services.
But Licata says the increased property taxes themselves are becoming a hardship for poorer residents, especially with housing becoming so expensive. Licata and Councilmember Kashama Sawant sought to have the transportation levy draw on other funding sources instead of relying solely on property taxes. The two also wanted to shrink the levy, something Licata says the council has often done successfully.
I would say, without a doubt, two-thirds of them that the council has reduce their initial proposal.
Not this time. Licata's efforts did not prevail, and in the end, he and the rest of the council endorsed the transportation levy.
Apparently, there was a feeling amongst the majority of the council members that street improvements and addressing our traffic problems took precedence over the potential negative impact it would have on people who are lower income, struggling to get by and paying their mortgages.
If this levy passes, it would cost the owner of a $450,000 home about $275 per year. Public officials say these levies are the legacy of Tim Iman, who successfully passed the initiative restricting property tax increases to 1% per year without voter approval. But civic groups say levies should be proposed for specific building projects, not to fund the operations of a city department. Paul Guppy is policy director for the Washington Policy Center, a conservative think tank. He says Seattle is not a hotbed of Tea Party activists wanting to starve government.
But there are civic groups like the Municipal League that look at this from an objective point of view, and they are really thinking not about politics, but about service to the public. And they're raising questions about how this levy is structured and that Move Seattle is so large.
Seattle Transportation Director Scott Kubley says this levy will provide about a third of his agency's budget over 9 years. He says over that many years, it's important to keep some flexibility as situations change. For example, he says when the time comes, it may make sense to put a greenway on a different street than was initially intended.
And as we go through the planning process with the community, we may find that that project slips over or moves over one street.
Kubley says that's why the levy commits to spending categories rather than projects.
That's the balance that we're trying to strike. And I think that's what you see in the ordinance that requires spending levels in these three categories: congestion, relief, safety improvements, and maintenance.
Deviations from those categories require a 3/4 vote of the city council. And Kubley says to help with public oversight, the city created its online dashboard where people can monitor spending on capital projects. Some voters say their typical impulse is to vote yes on these levies because they perceive the need as being so great. Josh Bess is a psychiatrist. Like Melissa and Andrew, he also moved to Seattle 2 years ago. We met up recently at a soccer field near his house. When he got to Seattle, Bess realized something about his property taxes back in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
They were higher, that's for sure.
Bess was struck by the lower taxes in Seattle and by some gaps in services here, in transportation and in the mental health services his patients need. So Bess says for him, it's not a hard decision to support the two levies on the November ballot.
We have fantastic resources here. We have resources in people. We have resources in nature. We have resources in money. But everybody benefits from the things that these taxes go to pay for.
And property tax rates in Seattle and King County are low compared to the rest of the country. But Washington also has the most regressive tax system in the country, meaning those with the lowest incomes here pay up to 7 times as much of their income in taxes as their wealthy counterparts. I'm Amy Radel, KUOW News.